Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. We're so glad you're with us. We're here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. So as life is appearing through each of us, it shows up as the unique individuals that we each one are. And as it does so, it brings forward in us the very best of who we are. It also brings forward all of who we are. So we celebrate you, whoever you are, whatever your background, wherever you have been in life up till this point, whatever your racial or cultural or any of that, language base, all of those things. We celebrate you. We're grateful that you're with us. And we're grateful that you're here to be honored and recognized and celebrated. So I'm so glad you're here, and I so welcome you. Our next order of business is to think a minute about what we believe. This is the foundational belief statement of the center. And we read it not so much as a thing to say, okay, you have to believe this, not at all, as much as it to say, this is what we all are striving for and reaching for. These are the guiding principles that we may or may not have fully embodied or fully taken into our lives and our consciousness, depending on our choices and where we are in life. But regardless, you're welcome, and you're welcome to be here. But this is our declaration of principles. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. So I'm very happy to say today that we have one of our lead practitioners back with us. He's working like a crazy man these days and doing very well at it. But we are very grateful that he's saned up a little bit and is able to get today to be free to be with us. And so I'm grateful that today we get to hear from the wonderful Doug Moody. Take it away, Doug.
Good morning, everybody. And thank you, Bob. It's so great to be here with you guys. I miss you so much on Sunday mornings. My work prevents me from being here more frequently as much as I would like to. So I relish the Sundays that I am with you. I was really excited to see this morning's celebration theme of skepticism, doubt, and faith. It just seems to be so pertinent and current with everything that we seem to be experiencing right now in our lives, with this pandemic, with an upcoming election, with our work and our jobs, our families, and keeping everyone healthy and safe. It's a lot of uncertainty to navigate. And I think it's times like this when this teaching is so beautiful and so practical. And I just feel so blessed to have it as a foundation in my life and happy to share it with others too. And so I found an Ernest Holmes quote that I really loved that I think kind of tied into today's celebration theme very beautifully. And it's about prayer. And as a practitioner and with our practitioner group here at CSL Midtown Atlanta, we focus a lot on helping others via prayer, via spiritual mind treatment, what we call scientific prayer, to help them basically come to a realization, an aha moment. And in that aha moment, it's beautiful how things just instantly start changing and shifting towards that clarity and that desired good. Ernest Holmes said, when prayer removes distrust and doubt, and enters the field of mental certainty, it becomes faith. And the universe is built on faith. And I think the key phrase in there is mental certainty. I have frequently used a very popular exercise. I know it's one of Dr. Bob Dean's favorites too, the fear to faith exercise. We use that all the time in our practitioner work. But it beautifully points out the spiritual truths that are always constant, no matter what appearances we're experiencing in our lives. Things like abundance and balance and beauty and freedom, joy, love, order, peace, wholeness, wisdom, unity. These things are always the truth and constant. And in this exercise, it kind of helps you come to the realization of, what are you exactly giving your power to? Are you maybe giving your power to doubt or uncertainty or skepticism? And it's really not all that difficult in turning that around if you just think of what the exact opposite of that would be. So I think the critical question is something Kennedy Schultz used to always say, and I think he got this from his teacher, Dr. Reverend Raymond Charles Barker in New York City. But Kennedy used to always ask, to what are you giving your power? And I think that's the wake-up call that we all need to remind ourselves of, especially in such times. What are you giving your power? Are you giving your power to the skepticism and the doubt? Are you giving your power to the faith and the truth? We always have that choice, and that's something that is so important to remember. So I found a little reading, just very, very short, a couple of paragraphs from Ernest Holmes' Beverly Hills Lectures in 1952 that kind of build on this idea, thought that I've been sharing with you this morning. And it says, "The truth about hate is love. We can find the spiritual equivalent of any negation by turning to its exact opposite. The truth about fear is faith. The truth about hell is heaven. The truth about the devil is God. The truth about loneliness is inclusion. The truth about lack is abundance. The truth about bad circulation is that life circulates. The truth about heart trouble is that there's only one heart, and it's never troubled." You see, truth has got to be that which is universal, cosmic, and automatically flowing through everything that is individual and personal. The more faith we have in our own prayer work, the better we'll be. But if we could come to a place where we no longer have to have faith in it because we know it is true, then we would use it with complete assurance. Do we or do we not have faith when we flip the switch to get electric light? Certainly we do. Yes, but it's more than faith. We have conviction out of experience and out of usage. So I think the last line, that whole example, that metaphor of the law of electricity is so beautiful, and no pun intended, but so powerful here, because we have more than faith. We have to have more than faith. We have to have that conviction. We have to, and we get that conviction by repetition, by experience, by use, by how frequently we treat and do our prayer work over and over and over again until there absolutely is positively no doubt. And that is what we help provide as practitioners here at the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. And we have a great, wonderfully experienced group of practitioners here to help you do that. So I encourage people, if you are struggling with anything, and gosh knows there's a lot hitting all of us now, please feel free to contact the practitioners. And I'm going to also ask the practitioners to post in the chat box their contact information so people can have access to them. We're always here for you guys. So please utilize us. We're here for you. We're here to help. And just, I know that Dr. Bob Dean's going to have a lot more to say about all of this skepticism, doubt, and faith today. So join me real quickly. We're going to do a spiritual mind treatment or scientific prayer, and I'm just going to ask you to relax in your seats. Uncross your limbs and legs and arms and fingers and just be open in heart and mind and allow that which sinks in and resonates with you to sink in and be with you for a little while. And if something doesn't resonate with you, just let it go and keep moving. So let's just join together now. And I'm going to ask you to know this with me. There's one infinite power, one divine presence, one infinite wisdom operating throughout the universe and operating through me and each person here right now and every second of every day. And I and each are one with this infinite power because it is always within, simply seeking recognition to be called forth in any circumstance, in any experiencing that I or each may be encountering anytime. God is equally available. This power is equally available to all the time, every place. Knowing that I am one with this divine creation, this powerful spirit in creating my experience in life. And knowing this, today I claim divine wisdom, divine love guiding me each and every day in each and every prayer and thought and feeling and word that has power that I cast and set into universal law, knowing that I am creating a better world for myself, and in doing so, I create a better world for all. I am focused on truth. I am focused and present with mental clarity and certainty that this infinite power runs and moves and lives and breathes and acts through me each and every second of every day. I am focused on truth, on love and beauty and unity and wholeness and abundance and joy. All of these are my spiritual truth and the truth of each beautiful soul present. I am reminded of that, and I give great thanks for this understanding and for this powerful presence that is always within me and each, knowing that I always have the ability to choose truth, and I choose truth with mental certainty. And I do it over and over and over again, and there's just no doubt that my life is blessed because of it. And knowing this, I release my word into the universal law, knowing it is done. I simply let it be so, and it is wonderful. And together we say, and know, and so it is. Thank you. Our song today for reflection is I Will Be Fine. It's performed by Penny Nichols and Jana Stanfield, one of my favorite artists that I kind of discovered on our Empower Music website that we've been using. So I hope you enjoy it. I kind of felt like the I Will Be Fine was kind of a real quick and easy little mantra to remember when we have challenges facing us. So I love you guys, and please enjoy.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, Doug. Thank you to the musicians who put that together. Okay, now repeat after me. I am fine. Part of what I love about every musician is if I get to play with it because they can't talk back. But the good news is that it is absolutely true. You will be fine because you are fine. Because at core and at center, each and every one of us already has everything we need to live our lives richly and fully and to our liking. It is there, it is present, and it is has and our job is to simply learn how to get out of the way and let that happen. So today's talk is about doubt and fear and faith and all of that mix up together. And I found myself thinking, so what do you doubt? What are the things that I find myself doubting? Maybe this week, many of you already know, but I'll make it public. I'm in Playa del Carmen in Mexico, having a wonderful work experience down here and a wonderful opportunity to vacation and to simply be in a different place in the in-between times when I'm not working. And one of my big doubts is I've been doubting whether I could produce a talk while I'm in the middle of all this fun, simply because of the distraction and because there's parties and there's music on every corner and there's altogether newness everywhere. Of course, I did find a Walmart, but that was even interesting in its own way. So there's chicken on the corner. There's all kinds of things going on that can be just wonderfully distracting. But in the midst of that, the closer we got to Sunday, the more I found myself thinking, can I really concentrate enough and bring my focus enough to do this? And it's very hot for me, which down here, which was surprising because I grew up in Florida. I didn't expect to have the heat hit me like it has, but it really has been a strong deterrent to getting out and doing a whole lot of things I'd like to do. However, and so I've started to doubt myself in that respect. Do I have the energy? Can I make this happen? How do I take the best care of myself? Doubting my own judgment in discovering that the heat, it really has been such a drain and such an impact. We're closer to the equator. Duh, it's hot. Duh, it's the tropics. So it's hugely humid, and all of that I've not been in. I've been sitting quietly in my air conditioning for the last 6 months, not going anywhere. So no surprise that I'm having a reaction to some of this. But what that has stirred up is some self-questioning. Am I using good judgment? Have I got the wisdom to do and take care of myself and still get out and have the joy? Because I love travel. I love seeing new places. I love experiencing the people and the excitement of it all. And yet here I've had that bit of a challenge. So I've had this sort of doubt thing going on. Can I make this work? Can I make this work for me in a way that is joyful and that I come home with great refreshment and ease and all of that. What I begin to be aware of is that, before I left, I've had some doubts about what's going to happen with our economy. I have dear, dear friends living on the West Coast, up and down the West Coast, California, New Orleans, Oregon, all over, who are losing some of them have lost their homes. Some of our ministers have been through really difficult times. Many of their members have lost their homes to the fires. I mean, it's far away from us on this coast, and yet it's very up close and personal. Beautiful places that I used to travel to and loved out there are gone and will never be back the way they were. I mean, they'll be back. They'll come back to life. There's no question about it. But the beauty that was there is transient. And so all of this stuff is teaching me that there's so much change. And what I'm realizing is the only real doubt I ever have about any of it is in myself. Doubt that I have within me the ability to adjust, to cope, to create a wonderful life for myself, regardless of what's going on outside of me, regardless of what all of those external things are. My doubts are bubbling up based on, can I cope with this? Can I manage this? I remember as a very small child when my father died and they told me about it. I was 7. I remember sitting there kind of stunned and thinking, what will I do now? How can I manage? And here I am all these years later, having managed quite well, having found within me resources I never knew I had. And what I'm also thinking about is that one of the powerful gifts of doubt is that it calls upon us to call upon spirit, to call upon consciousness, to call upon spiritual law, to bring forward in us the very best of who we are, to take us to that next place. When I walked into Science of Mind the first time, I was sharing this yesterday with my host, and I at first I thought I was back in a Baptist prayer meeting, because they kept talking about this thing called prayer and treatment. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I already did all that. And I've kind of left that behind. And I'm not sure I want another dose of that. But before I waste any more time on this thing, I'm going to do what they say and learn what this treatment nonsense is all about. And in my head at that point, it was probably nonsense. But I had enough faith that if it was something good in it, by my participating in it, I had within me enough good that I could bring it forward. And if it wasn't really for me, if this wasn't the best path for me, then that would show up very quickly too, and I would be able to move on to whatever's next. So I bought Raymond Charles Barker a little pamphlet called How to Do Spiritual Mind Treatment. I took it home. I figured I'm working on a doctorate, so I probably am smart enough to figure out how to write one of these things. And I did. I used all the guidelines he said, and I wrote a treatment on my freedom of breathing, because I'd had chronic sinusitis for years and years and years. Rarely breathing with my nose unstopped unless I was on heavy, you know, the medications that keep all that open. As soon as the medication would wear off, my nose would close up and I start like this, and it was really not pretty. So what I did was I did that, and I did what they said at that point. I read that thing every morning and every night, and I discovered about 6 weeks later, without realizing it, I hadn't taken a pill in a day or two, and I was breathing okay. And my first response was, oh, darn, I've got to go back there now and see what the heck's going on with this. And then I went, hallelujah, there's been a change. So doubt took me to do the work to create the faith and to create the experience that I could build upon. See, faith is built on our belief, our acceptance, and our trust. And so I came to believe in that moment that whatever this was called spiritual mind treatment, I didn't understand at that point how it worked or why it worked, but I just knew that when I did the steps and as they told me, it did work. And so I came back and I came back and I learned more and I dug more into it and I came to understand how it works and why it works. And so even though at the beginning of spiritual mind treatment, my faith was very small in it, because I really didn't understand it, by building on my belief and my experience, then faith really began to blossom. That, hey, this is a powerful tool. I can use it. And if it works on my sinuses, it might work on some other things, like relationships, like health. In a more general sense, and indeed it did. I used to vision and visualize someday I would be the only growing up. The only picture of color in the encyclopedia that we had was a picture of Machu Picchu, and it was in green, beautiful green color. I mean, it's all in color. Everything else is black and white. And I always imagine myself there, what that would look like. Well, sure enough, a few years after I got into this teaching, I ended up with the opportunity to go, and I went. And I walked across one of those rope bridges when I was terrified of heights over 3 feet. I couldn't stand on a ladder without getting dizzy. And here I was swinging on a bridge, you know, several hundred feet above the water below me in the ravine. Eyes closed, mind you, because I was too scared, but I got across it. I built some confidence and trust. You built some knowledge and acceptance that I could do this. Later in that trip, we're climbing the mountain behind Machu Picchu, which is Huayna Picchu. We go way up, and there's a point up at near the top where you're walking down these, or up in this case, up or down, we had to go both ways, these steps that are carved into the side of a cliff. They're about not even 3 feet wide, maybe 2 feet wide, because these were little people that made this stuff. They are only about 4 inches deep. Well, I had number 12s, so 4 inches didn't provide a whole lot of solidity for me. And there was nothing on this side except the sheer cliff up, and nothing on this side but the sheer cliff down, way, 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 way down. I couldn't close my eyes because I couldn't stay on the steps if I did that. So I imagine this wonderful spirit that is my spirit is the spirit of life and it's got me. And I'm anchored to this mountain. I'm anchored to this rock. And so what I did was I put that anchor in. I started up those steps one at a time, and I made it to the top. And by the time it was time to come down, not only did I enjoy looking around while I was coming down, I felt completely safe and confident. Now, that's what faith did for me. But it took building on those beliefs and those that acceptance and that trust for that to happen. Now, I'm not telling you this because Bob's the only one that can do this or because I'm the very best at it, because believe me, I'm not. I'm a great student of this teaching, and I continue to practice and learn it. But if I can do it, you can do it. I love that cooking show. You know, if Juan can cook, you can cook. If Bob can find his way through this. One of the things I learned when I first came here, what came into this teaching, was that if one person can do this, anyone can do it. Part of the power of oneness, part of the power of all being of the same source, of the same beginning, is that if someone has the ability to be creative and bring forth in their own version, best version of themselves, then you have all of that available to you as well. It's all right here and waiting for you. Treatment is a great way to begin to build that. You treat. You know, we teach in our beginning classes, treat for parking places, treat for traffic lights to be in according to your liking, treat for things to show up that are really small, and then pay really close attention when they do. You know, those aha moments when you see that your treatment has manifested, and you go, wow, you know? Another story from me, because if I tell stories about you, you'll get upset because you think I'm talking about you, but so I'm talking about me instead. And when I moved into a home in Atlanta, before I'd ever gotten to this teaching or anything else, my partner and I imagined before we moved there, when we moved in, I'll get my story straight here. When we moved in, I found a piece of paper, and on that piece of paper was a drawing and a description that we had written down probably two years before that, of what our perfect home would be. It would be in the woods. It would be within the perimeter. It would be indoor, outdoor, and it would be unusual architecture. Now, I had forgotten about it. We drew this whole thing and imagined it one night just sitting around talking, and we decided to jot it down. I threw it in a folder, didn't see it again until after we had moved into this house, had forgotten all about it. I just knew when I saw this house, this is the one. And so did he. So what we ended up doing then is looking at that, and it fit the description perfectly. It was built by an architect as a show house in the 40s. It was in the woods. It was on a piece of property that was like 7 acres of, had been an old Boy Scout camp and was sitting there, still owned by the people who'd broken it up and bought it in the 40s and 50s and had never sold it. It was parts of different people's inheritances. And so we got on the phone and we found who they were, and we bought up the property, and there we were, had a wonderful kind of our own little world. Now, that happened because we saw it here. And when I found that piece of paper, I was just like, wow, consciousness created this for me, brought me to it, showed me where it is, and slapped me on the head with it whenever we got it. And I'm so grateful. And that's before I even understand how it works. Now that I understand how that works, when I create these ideas and get very clear on this is exactly how I want things to be and what I want to experience, the universe says, okay, that's not hard. Let's just do it. And sure enough, the pieces will begin to come together. It may take a while. This was, like I said, 2 years later, and we'd already been through another housing situation in the meantime. But this one came out perfectly exactly as it should, and I lived there for many, many years. And found it to be really rich and wonderful. So, but treatment then is by taking those times that you do those and then noticing those aha moments like that where you go, oh, wow, this really works. This stuff shows up. I want to share a couple of quotes with you. And I am using one screen today, so bear with me. I'm not accustomed to quite doing this, but I'll do it. I'll make it work. It'll be safe. So here we go. Yes. So this is Will Rogers, one of my favorite quotes. And he says, if you want to be successful, it's just this simple. Know what you're doing, love what you're doing, and believe in what you're doing. Because this comes from a piece by Will Rogers entitled, Faith Leads to Success. Faith is the step past your doubt and your fear. Know what you're doing, love what you're doing, and believe in what you're doing. Because if you're doing any of the opposite for any of those, then what you really want is not going to show up. You're going to be headed off in a different direction, unintentionally, but you will be. No need for suffering. That was given up in the old religion. We don't do that anymore. Now, here's Ernest's version. When prayer removes distrust and doubt and enters the field of mental certainty, it becomes faith. Thank you, Doug. You found that one earlier, and you were right on. I love this quote. And I want to do one more to talk. Well, before we do that, let me go away here and stop share. Let you see me again instead. So there's another part to all of this. And that is that we can believe in and go for those things all we want to. But there's also stuff that we're carrying that runs counter to it. And that power in the universe, that law of attraction in the universe, works so that it will attract that stuff to you as well if you strongly believe in it. And so a lot of what growing in spirit, in the spirit of this teaching is about is learning what things really don't serve you anymore and releasing any attachment or belief in them and letting them go. It's another word for forgiveness. It's one of the, it's another way of thinking about forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't so much about saying what you did isn't wrong or what I did isn't wrong. It's about saying what you did doesn't matter anymore. What happened or however invested I was in something just doesn't matter anymore, because what I'm invested in now is this. What I'm moving to is this. And the person I love, the quote I love, this is probably my favorite ever of any, is from Emerson. Whoops, sorry. And Emerson says this. Emerson says, let us take our bloated nothingness out of the path of the divine circuits. Let us unlearn our wisdom of the world. Now, I want to back up before any further and say this about this. What our doubt does is tell us what our bloated nothingness is. My doubt in my own ability, my doubt in the ability of the infinite. I mean, it's the infinite. It's the power that created universes. And yet I can doubt it. I can find and think. And probably the biggest thing people doubt is that it won't work for me. It works fine for other people, but it doesn't work for me. My bloated nothingness is the home of all of those doubts and fears. My bloated nothingness that says I'm not that. You may be created fully as an expression of the infinite, but I'm not. And I don't have within me whatever is needed to bring it forward. And there may be many other things and reasons for your thought, your doubts, your fears, or whatever. But many times, if you look deeply at them, they will bring you right back to that place. So let us unlearn our wisdom of the world. I don't know about you, but the wisdom of the world right now is a scrambled mess. And the more I read the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom of the universe, not the wisdom of the infinite, but the wisdom of the world. Take any subject you want and you will find 14 contradictory reasons, truths about it. You know, which party is the best? Why this one will destroy the government and that one will destroy the government, even though they have very opposite opinions and ideas of things. You know, and all of those things are the wisdom of the world. And we can get lost in it. I'm not saying don't pay attention, don't read, don't stay in touch. Yes, do that. But let's As the next line says, let us lie low in the Lord's power, the law's power, the Spirit, infinite's power. Don't get hung up on the word Lord. And learn that truth alone makes rich and great. So it's back to those truths that Doug talked about in his presentation, which was so rich. That truth that there is one, that those powers are the powers of light and love and life and goodness and creativity and all of those resources that we have within us. And I'll leave you with one more. This is the place where one of the most powerful things I heard when I came into this teaching was, while you may not know what to do, and you may feel confused and lost, and while you may have all kinds of contradictory ideas going on in your mind, there is something in you that always knows the best and right way. There is, and that something is not separate from you. It is not outside of you. It may not be heard very loudly at times because we have to be quiet enough to hear it. But in truth, it is there. So this is the powerful faith statement that Ernest Holmes brings forward. I live in the faith that there is a presence and power greater than I am that nurtures and supports me in ways I could not even imagine. Anyone who's ever been through a loss knows about that. Anyone who's ever been through a difficult, painful situation and found that somehow that through it and on the other side of it, you are able to find peace and find harmony and move forward, knows the truth of this statement. So I invite and encourage you to take this to the next step for yourself. Whenever all else seems in doubt or difficulty is showing up and there's doubt and uncertainty slamming at you, remember there is a power within you that is infinite, that is supporting and loving you in depth and ways that you have not yet imagined and is greater than you know. You're wonderful because that's how you're made. That's how I'm made. That's how we're all made. And so am I, and so it is. So if you'd like, join me for a few moments of meditation, of quiet. So just let these words sink in a bit. I love what Doug said as well. Take what you like, leave the rest. Let the ones that resonate with you stay there. The rest of them, they don't matter to you anyway. Let them go. They're for someone else. So as you breathe in and breathe out and find your peace in this place, take a moment. And if there are things annoying you right now in your consciousness that say, yeah, but, I don't believe this or I don't believe that or what about this or that, just notice what they are and set them aside for a moment. Instead, turn to that power within you that knows and knows that it knows. You have to be quiet a bit sometimes to hear it. And sometimes you don't even hear it. You just discover that the next thing you do was addressed by it. Life. Rich and wonderful, exists within each of us because we are formed out of, not out of, but as part of an infinite universal intelligence, an infinite universal love, an infinite universal power that is present everywhere. It is present within each of us. It is present as each of us. And by our very thought, we invite its direction in our lives. So I invite the thought of great faith. I invite the thought that I am always nurtured and aware of that nurturing from within me. I invite the thought that I'm paying attention and seeing where it's showing up in my life. And as I invite, it simply says yes. And knowing this, I know and declare that despite all going on in the world around me, for me and all participants in this life, there is a peace, there is a power, there is a truth, there is a goodness that can only bring greater peace, greater power, greater goodness out of the chaos. And that ultimately and finally, I know and declare that all is well. All is well with me. All is well with my world. And all is well with God. Knowing this, I can say yes, yes, and yes, in deep gratitude. Gratitude for the life I have, gratitude for the life I see for myself and enjoy every moment, gratitude for the life I imagine for my future, knowing that the best of it is yet to come, always. Knowing that, I can release this treatment, knowing this work is complete for me now. I let it be, and so it is. And so the last thing I would share with you just very quickly is that, as Doug suggested from Ernest Holmes' lectures, if you've got some big chunks of doubt that are bugging you, write them down one at a time, each one on a line, and then out beside it, write the truth. In fact, the best way to do it is put it on two pieces of paper. And then throw the doubts away and keep the pieces of paper with the truth. And each day, contemplate those truths for yourself. It can be a very powerful spiritual exercise to take you through this time. And so it is. Well, thank you so much for your time, for your attention, for giving me this opportunity. I am always grateful for this. Right now, you're going to hear a little more about our center and a little more of what's coming up from one of our wonderful, very, very powerful person in his own right, board members, the wonderful David Gibbs. Take it away, David.
Thank you, Rev. And thank you and Doug for such powerful presence this morning. So many tremendous golden nuggets of wisdom and, you know, direct from the universe, if you will. Good morning, everyone. My name is David Gibbs, as Reb said, and I am a member of your board of trustees. And in this moment is our opportunity to take action to anchor ourselves in the truth of the universe, anchor ourselves in the law of well-being and prosperity. And so it is our prosperity celebration. And while we are online, we invite you to contribute to this ministry by contributing through the links on our website, as has been posted in the chat, as well as PayPal as an option. And last but not least, good old snail mail to send a check to CSL Midtown, P.O. Box 14303, Atlanta, Georgia 30324. There's also a link to contribute in the chat, which you can click right there. It'll take you to our new pay portal, if you will, which many and most of us have found to be completely seamless. And we want you to know that your generous contributions help us expand our reach to a wider group of people. Even during this time, we've managed to attract new members you know, to our Sunday listening audience. And we're thankful and grateful of that, because we know that the Spirit works through all medium. And so it is continuing to work even during this very unique time in our lives. And so we thank you all who give so freely of your time, talent, and treasure for increasing this ministry, increasing, you know, its delivery to the broader number of folks, you know, in our immediate circle. So I want to invite you to join in reading the affirmation for prosperity with me. And you see it now on your screen. Thank you, Vance. And so if we can, you know, we know there's power in our spoken word. So by all means, even though we're not together physically, we are together in spirit. So let's join in spirit in affirming our affirmation of prosperity together. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And as and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Thank you very much. And so the multiplication of our abundance shows up in our activities. And you'll see here our September theme, as we continue through the month of September, is in fact facing fear. I can't think of a more spiritual opportunity that each and every circumstance presents to us that raises any level of fear, the idea and the opportunity of facing fear. Next Sunday, September 20th, the topic of our lesson will be, do you have faith or are you had by faith? Wow. There's a powerful concept there, and it's going to be delivered by our guest speaker, Reverend Cynthia McCarthy. Today, after the celebration, we want to invite you to our virtual coffee. So it's an opportunity to pour yourself a coffee at home in the comfort of your home or whatever your favorite beverage is, and hang around and fellowship with us, much like we often do when we are in place. And so stay on your Zoom or join us through Zoom if you're on the live feed. Through Facebook, you can actually transfer, shift over, join us on Zoom, and be able to fellowship and chat with other members who choose to hang around as well. And I want to mention a couple of our classes. One, spiritual empowerment session on Tuesday afternoons from 12 to 12:30. So just a 30-minute kind of recharge on Tuesday. You know, you get through Monday and you're ready for a recharge by noon on Tuesday, and you have the time, you can join this very same Zoom link. You see the passcode and the meeting ID there on the screen. And then our Sunday morning discussion group is back. Join by clicking again on this very same Zoom link. So everything's operating through this one Zoom link. It's very convenient for us. Once you learn how to get there and navigate there, you can do so through Facebook. And so join our Sunday morning discussion. And I'm going to invite Rev later to share exactly what time that discussion is. But right now, I want to mention our class that's happening every Sunday. Excuse me, two options for our class, Your Potential Mental Equivalence. Activating Your Potential Mental Equivalence. If you're not familiar with what mental equivalents are, it's a great way to learn how we use our mind and our imaging capacity, you know, to really provide us the clarity and conviction we seek to bring forth the life that we desire. And so there's two options for this 5-week course beginning September 16th through October 14th. And those options include Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. to noon. Again, Wednesday mornings, 10 a.m. to noon, or Wednesday evenings from 7 to 9. So it's a 2-hour class based on your availability. Hopefully you can find a time that works for you. And you'll see that it's $199 September 9th through September 16th. Pay plans are available. Pay according to your ability and spread that payment out if you need to. Please be sure to contact us at info@cslmidtown.org to express your interest and to register. Let us know if you need a pay plan or make that payment in Prosperity, and join us in expanding your prosperity and your vision for yourself and your life. Please call practitioners if you need prayer work or fill out the prayer request on the website. Here's the link right here on the screen, but Reverend Cynthia McCarthy has also chatted in the link into our chat space. So you can literally click on that now if you like, and you can actually make a request for prayer. We know that this is a particularly challenging time for many, if not all of us. And so therefore the opportunity to engage with our practitioners is important now more than ever. And we should in no way, shape or form view it as anything other than strength than to reach out for help and assistance from someone, anyone, whether it's one of our practitioners. We of course believe we have some of the most solid support through our practitioners that you can find anywhere, and we're appreciative of that, and we want you to, you know, take advantage of that, you know, should you desire to do so. I want to also mention our practitioners. You know, they are a solid rock for our ministry, along with our board members themselves, who are doing all they can to guide the fiscal, administrative, and support the pastoral leadership of our ministry, and so. With great appreciation for them and ourselves. We thank you, and we look forward to continuing in this ministry with you. Thank you, Rev.
All right. Thank you so much, David, for this wonderful, wonderful sharing time, and all of you for being here. I would add that our class is, we are looking for more registrants. So if you're interested in taking the class, be sure and sign up. There may have to be an adjustment as to when we're offering it both times or being able to just offer one. So please, if you've been thinking about it and haven't done it. Also, if you've been thinking about it and the money is the problem, as we always know, we will not let the money stop you from taking class. So get in touch with me. Let me know what your needs are, and we'll work something out. So work out a solution. So please feel free to do that. Thank you, everyone, for today. It was wonderful. And everybody have a wonderful, wonderful week and a great afternoon. Enjoy the sunshine. I'll talk with you soon. Thank you. We will close with our closing, as we do each week, our affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life that I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is.
Oh, it is.